anxiety and depression over a variety of issues and topics. Pick one. But that is an opportunity for the body of Christ, for divine appointments to share the truth, to let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There are some people that are hurting. There are some people that are confused. And God wants to use you to minister life as He leads you, guides you, and directs you in your sphere of influence. Father, right now, Father, we declare and decree that we are children of the Most High God, and we receive divine appointments, Lord, opportunities to testify of Jesus Christ, Lord, in those situations, those conversations that we find ourselves in, Lord. In those unique moments, Father, right now we pray that you would give us the words to speak, that you would give us the things to say, Father, that we would be at the ready, Father. No matter what conversation comes up, no matter what situation comes up, Lord, that we would be at the ready, Father, ready to impart and share truth, ready to minister to people where they are and then bring them to where they need to be, Father. Father, we declare and decree in this time and season, we are used of you to preach the gospel, to share the good news, Father, and to tailor it, Father, for the specific situation, for the specific need, Father, that we walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, that our speech is seasoned with salt, Father, and that we know how to answer each one, Father. Father, right now we pray over the ground even before those moments, Lord. And we declare and decree, Father, that we have open doors, Lord, opportunities, Father, that the ground, Father, is ready to be received, Father, is ready to receive from you, Father, that the hearts are open and prepared, the minds are open, Father. And you lead us to the right person at the right time with the right message, Father. Encouragement, truth, life, healing, anointing, Father, that changes their life forever, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Bless your name. Well, it's Sunday morning. The body of Christ has assembled once again. We are family. We have the same blood. We have the same nature of God that lives on the inside of us. Did you know that you are a partaker of the divine nature? It's not that God is over here and you're over here. No, the two have become one. He has come to live on the inside of you. He empowers you to do His will in the earth. So it's good to see everyone. Those watching by live stream, you are blessed. You are loved. You are missed. God's grace is upon your life. God has good things in store. Today, open your heart, be ready to receive. More than that, be ready to be a blessing to someone else. The Bible says that when you assemble together, how is it that each of you has something to supply for the benefit of the whole? Now, we're not asking everybody at this moment to start, you know, walking around and, you know, distributing. But after the message is done, and we're all talking and sharing, be open. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of a word of encouragement someone may need, a smile that someone may need. Something simple, something big, it doesn't matter. Just be open to God to do your part today in the assembly of the brethren. Amen? Praise God. You may be seated. We have announcements.
Good morning. Just want to remind you of regularly scheduled events that take place during the week. On Tuesday, we have prayer at 6:30 in the evening. Wednesday assembly, Brother Rob has on Friday morning at 6:15 the men's communion on Zoom. So if you need that information, make sure you get it from him. And then also Saturday evening prayer at 7. But now I'm going to get off the mic and turn it over to Miss Bettina Robinson, who has a pastoral covering.
Well,
did I miss something? I'm sorry.
No,
well, I just said she had a presentation.
While she's coming, I just want to let you know, hopefully you got your email, but as most of you probably know, our own Miss KK is going to be leaving us this week. This is her last assembly with us, And so we're just going to be celebrating her and sending her off in a blessed way. Right after assembly, we'll have some goodies over here. And we just want to be a blessing to her. So I invite you to come on over and let's send her off. This is not the last time we're going to see her. She will be back. But we want her to know that we love her and we're sending her off with our blessings and with our love. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Good morning, church family. We are here on behalf of you, the body, and the pastoral covering team to honor two very special people. So I'm going to start with our first person whose birthday is first. And that is, well, out of the stream of August birthdays, but Sister Tara, would you please come? So, Sister Tara is married to our own brother Damon, made him better, and makes him better every day. She serves on our Women of Faith board, Believers Education team, Kingdom Kids team. I mean, I could list all her accolades of what she does, but I have notes, so I'm going to try to stick to them. And, you know, most of you all know or think that the UT family came to House of the Lord because of John. But I would say it was because of Tara. Because Tara heard John say something, and she was like, we all need to go and see about this man that he's talking about. And Tara brought people to hear from that man of God, and that led other people to bring, and I was brought. And then I brought, and then I brought. So I was like, yeah, I still got a little legacy going. So, you know, she is a teacher at heart, an encourager. She is relational, you know, loyal, faithful to the core. She is revelatory because she is a Berean. She seeks after God's word and truth and presses in, and she is anointed. And that's Tara. Uh-huh. A little, you know, across it. But, so this is her year of Jubilee. And so we are celebrating on Tuesday. We're going to celebrate. And I wrote this down. Encourage others through writing and sharing what God has put in you. That is my charge to you. It is time to get that pen going and it out to the world for you to bless the kingdom with all God has put inside of you, placed inside of you. So on behalf of your church body, we have some lovely tulips. They're very beautiful. And a card signed by the church body. You could have handed it to her. And then a 3-wick scented candle that's cozy cashmere from Bath and Body Works, a vanilla, how do you say it? Patchouli. Okay, that word right there, Tara, that's what you got. Wildflowers, air fresheners that are also from Bath and Body Works. And cha-ching, a check for $125 in case you want to go to TJ Maxx and, you know, get you some comfortable virtual learning clothes. Anyway. So we love you. We'll be celebrating you all week because you are worthy of honor and celebration. So I love you. Okay, now this next one, you might have to tighten the shot so I can. I'm going to try to keep it together for this one too. All right, so he is in the chat. So put it in the chat. Brother Ken, we love you because I know he's there. This is for my brother from another mother. He has been my brother since 1991. And he's a minister, church board member. I'm going to keep it together. Believers Education team leader. And the past 2 years haven't been the easiest. But he has gotten through it with such strength, such firmness with the word that's planted in him. He is dedicated to pressing into God during this time. and being a blessing to his son. And he is an amazing father and an excellent man. And Kenneth, we love you and we call you blessed. We speak just continued restoration over your life. We speak that what the enemy tried to do to take your joy, to take your peace, we call it null and void of effect. You are receiving your restoration, and it's going to be far better and beyond what we even could think or imagine. You are worth all that you give, all the love, all the encouragement, all of the support. We love you, we love you, we love you. And I'm not even going on with my notes. But this got me excited. When Sister Jerry sent me this, I said, what? I have a delivery to make for Preston, so maybe your delivery will be there when I get there. Homemade peach cobbler and some bluebell ice cream. A card signed by your church body. DJ said, wow. two shirts from Joss A. Banks. Nice. All right. Dress shirts. You know, it's, you know, clean. You know, Ken is fresh and clean, but you know. And then a $60 Amazon gift card for you to get some things done. And Rachel gave me your wish list too, so I got some other things on the pipeline. So these are going to be delivered to you, and we love you. We call you blessed. Have a blessed birthday on Thursday. And Todd is giving you a standing O.
Good morning, church family. I come before you once again to give you an opportunity to ratify your covenant in the area of tithes and offerings. The men of valor are coming to those in the house to distribute offering envelopes to you. If you're watching online, please give via our online sewing button. You can click on that on our webpage, or you can click on the link in our YouTube video or Facebook Live video and get to that same page. You can give online that way. I study all week looking for things that I can bring that's new and different and fresh to bring a different idea, and I thought I had everything all worked out, and then standing in the back going over and reading everything, because you can see, these are my notes. I just highlight scriptures, and then I'm standing in the back, and God says, nope, you're going to do it this way today. You're going to finish the second half of this on Wednesday, so if you want to get to part two of this, come on Wednesday. I'm going to Job today. Chapter 1, I'm going to start with verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And Satan answered to the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? And you bless the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased his land? Think about that. The devil just told God, hey, you're blessing him. He just got an endorsement from the devil saying how much God has actually blessed him. It says, but put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. You know the rest of the story. His kids are killed. His animals are killed. All of his possessions are taken away. Chapter 1 ends with, and through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Chapter 2, Satan comes back to God, and God asks him the same question. Where have you been? Have you considered my servant Job? For there's none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast to his integrity, even though you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. And Satan answered, saying, skin for skin, Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life, but put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life. And you know the rest of the verse. Satan comes after him. He's covered in boils. He's attacked. He's in immense pain. Verse 10 ends in, all this Job did not sin with his lips. It's an awful lot more I want to get to, but like I said, we'll pick that up on Wednesday. My point on this is Satan accused God of having an upright man who was upright because God blessed him. I'm here to submit to you that God blessed him because he was upright. And there's a big difference between the two. If I've got somebody who's coming in and he's paying all my bills and he's taking care of all my needs and everything I want, I just ask for and it's there, I'm going to love him. Okay? But there's a difference when I love somebody and because I love him and I give him respect and honor, then he comes and he pays all my bills and he takes care of my family and he blesses me. Which one of those are you? Do you honor God when it's tough? Do you honor God when it's hard? And do you honor God when it's good? Because I'm here to tell you, if you are the type that will bless God first, God is faithful and he will bless you in return. So keep that in mind when you're giving. If you're giving online, you can follow those links. You can mail a check to us at P.O. Box 140-345, Austin, Texas, 78714. And when you give, think about the why. Why do you do what you do? Why are you doing this? Are you doing it because it's an obligation? Are you doing this because you love God? And whether there was a return on it or not, would you do it anyhow? And if you have that attitude, you won't be able to hold in everything God wants to pour onto you.
Teach me thy ways, O Lord, that I may walk therein.
Father, thank you for the privilege, the honor of honoring you in the tithe and the offering, Lord. We call this morning's tithe and offerings holy unto you and set apart for your will, your plan, and your purpose. Have your way in them and through them, Father. We agree together with you that the windows of heaven are open and your blessings are overtaking us, Father. And you see to it that we are fully furnished, entire, lacking nothing, ready for every good work, ready for every charitable donation, Father. We thank you this morning that as we planted seed with the offerings, Father, we receive the harvest. We receive the multiplication of the seed sown this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Praise God. Thank you for your giving. We're going to let the children and the youth go to your respective places, and as those teams are getting ready. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We're glad that you're here. Let's join together and bless our kids as they are taught on the Word of God so that they can understand it. And then the youth so that their lives can be impacted in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for the youth and for the children that you have blessed us with, Father, and we just celebrate and rejoice in what you have in store and a plan for their lives. Father, we just ask that the teachers would be anointed this morning. We know they are. And Father, we thank you that as the seed of the word goes into their hearts, into their minds, Father God, that it changes them, that it produces a fruit, Father God, produces much fruit in their lives in the years to come. We lift them up before you. We celebrate their accomplishments that they will accomplish, Father God, the things that they will succeed in for you and your kingdom. We thank you for it, Father. And we just thank you for the workers, for their faithfulness, and we just bless your name. We give glory and honor to you, sir. Thank you. Amen. Kiddos, you're dismissed. And youth, you can go to your designated place while we serenade them off.
We sing praises to your name. Oh,
been enjoying the prayer series that Pastor Michelle has been bringing? Well, that's good because she's got another installment right now. So come on, baby, and bless us.
Nema kriya sa korbiya shat kudia ba kriya se. Se korbiya sa kamana kudia so korbiya riya sa. He korbiya si kamana kudia so korbiya. I korbiya sa to korbiya mana kudia so korbiya sa. Se korbiya sa to komama ma korbiya si korbiya se. He poko kaba korbiya si kol. E korbiya sa mana kudia so korbiya se. Se korbaria sa mama kriya siku bakriya si. I korbaria sa tokoba baria so korbia sheko te. E koba bakriya si korbaria mana kendi kamana kridia so korbaria se. He korbaria sa tokomana kridia so korbaria se. He korbaria si korbaria la lokoma kri. Ido bakridia so korbaria sa tokoba she. Se korbaria sa tokridia so korbia sha. aria sat kod dia sukrbiasha herlo korbaria sikorbariasa he korbaria sat kod dia sukrbiasha kod dia se he baba korbaria sakrbiasha selo korbaria se korba bakria sat kod dia so o korbaria se kormana kod dia sukrbiasha selo korbaria sat kod dia sukrbaria Igma makria se koma na kredia so korbria se korbria se se koba kria sa to kredia se. There are times and seasons for everything. There are times and seasons for everything. But by everything, it will be established according to my will and my way. It is not your choice. You had a choice to come. You had a choice to be submitted. But I am telling you, my choice for the head of this house is this couple. I don't care how you feel about them. If you're going to be in this house and you're going to flow the way I want to flow, your submission to the head of the house is all important. You cannot do what you want to do. You cannot speak what you want to speak. You cannot not think that because I have a call on your life, you can treat my ministers, my pastors, any way that you want and be blessed. Your blessing in this house depends on how you submit to the head of the house. Everything that this house is called to will flow from what I am leading these people to do for you. They hear me, they obey me. You follow what I have called them to do. The house has to flow from me to them to you. Whatever you're called to do in this house is based on what the house is called to do. Hear me. Decide what you want to do. If you do not want to line up with the vision I have for this house, you're free to go somewhere else. You are not free to try and change the vision, to try and change what I've called them to. For they hear me and they obey me. I know you think, oh, this isn't a nice, sweet word. Everything is not always nice, sweet. Check the word. When I sent the man of God to speak, it was not always a sweet word. You are going to the nations, but you'll take the city first, but you will not do it in rebellion. Hear me and hear me well. Submit or leave or face the consequences. I love you, but this is my word, for these are the head of the house. I flow through them. Even as I flow through you. Submit or find another place to be. But this is the leadership for this house.
Father, we submit to you. Search our hearts and reveal. Show us your will and your way. Oh, we will follow you every day. Lord, we set our hearts on you. Oh, we listen for your way. Lead us by your Spirit, Lord. For today we say, we will follow you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. We ask you to reveal our hearts to us, Father, that we would all bow before you, before your will, before your way, to accomplish your purpose in this earth and in the nations, Father. Glory and honor and praise be unto you alone. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good.
He is so good. Amen. I would like to ask you guys to do something with me, if you would. I saw myself doing this earlier. I don't always hear like a verbal sentence where God says, do this or do that. I'll just get a flash or a picture of it. I have a very good friend in Ennis, Texas, and her pastor has been attacked with COVID. And it's a fairly young church, beautiful congregation, and he is currently in the hospital in ICU, and saw the report this morning where they said that they say he has pneumonia in his lungs, and he's been there in the hospital for a while. And I just saw his name is Russell Mills, Pastor Russell Mills in Ennis, Texas. We have visited his church. He's a very gracious man. He was very gracious to us. And I just saw us lifting him up. If you want to just reach your hands back to the camera, because I know that Vicky may be watching right now, but I'm sure that they'll probably share this. But I just want to speak health and life to this man of God right now. It is not God's will that anything but resurrection life happen in his body. So, Father, we agree together right now as concerning your word that by the stripes of Jesus, Russell Mills was healed. So, Father, I curse any attack against his body. I curse COVID. I curse pneumonia. I curse any evil report and say we do not receive it. But, Father, we receive the report of the Lord that says by the stripes of Jesus, he was healed. If he was healed, he is healed. So I decree over him right now in that hospital room, your anointing, Father, your word that is manifesting your will in his body right now, your Holy Spirit anointing that destroys the yoke of the enemy, Father, and your angels that minister comfort and peace and your word to him. I decree that it's taking place right now, Father, and I decree resurrection life in his body, flowing in his veins, pushing out anything that is unlike the perfection with which he was created. And Father, I say to this man, arise, rise up, man of God, and accomplish the vision that your Father God has given you on this earth and in that congregation. I say, rise and be healed and whole. And Father, we give you glory and honor and praise that you are raising him up, Father, and anyone else in their congregation, in their sphere, Father, that has been attacked with this. It is not of you. And we curse it and we say that it ceases and desists its operation in that body. Father, that they are all well and whole and raised up to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. And Father, I thank you that a spirit of praise would arise in that body right now. Father, a spirit of praise that would cause them all to rise up and seize and celebrate, Father, health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance as you've given it to us, Father. We freely receive it. Thank you, Father. And Lord, as your saints in the earth, as ambassadors, we decree over COVID, anywhere that you exist right now, we command you to cease and desist, to dry up and to dissipate and to be gone right now. We will not stand and watch this earth be ravaged by the enemy, but we use, Father, the word that you've given us to decree that the work of the enemy is bound. I don't care whose man's hands it came through. We know it's from the enemy, from the pit of hell, and we have been given authority over it. So, Father, we decree right now in the earth that COVID-19 is cursed. It must cease and desist and stop ravaging bodies, stop changing families, stop its course right now and evaporate. And we release resurrection life, Father. Through the earth, we release it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, God was reminding me about the authority that we have and using our words. And I can remember when our kids were little and they would whine and they would point and they would fuss and we would say, use your words. Use your words. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. God has given us his word and given us authority in the earth. Sometimes we forget to use it. So whenever the unction would strike you, whenever you would be reminded of it, just use your words and say, COVID, you are cursed. You cannot continue in this earth. We say no. You don't have to get all shouting and hot. You can if you want to, but your words have power. Amen. So let's use them for the greater good, right? Amen. Amen. I want to thank the O'Briens for singing that song with me. They make me sound good. I think he's not in here. Rob Chambers might be the only person that actually remembers that song from the 90s. 80s, actually. Sorry, 80s. So KB's got me all confused on years and dates and stuff. I don't know. But anyway, I appreciate it, guys. Y'all are awesome. I don't know what we'd do without the O'Brien family. All four sisters, right? Because y'all look like sisters. You don't look like mom and three daughters. It's just sisters. And Brother Damon is blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Amen. I want to say hello, Miss Marilyn. Hello. Welcome home. Miss Marilyn has a distinction second only to our first founding lady, Sister Lou, of having been in this church from its conception. And it's amazing that, what, you're 35? Just only 30? 30, I'm sorry. I jumped a little bit. She and I share the same birthday, and we've celebrated together many years, and she has been such a blessing ever since the first day I met her. She taught our children much of what you see our kids walking in, started with Miss Marilyn. And I just want to say welcome. It's so good to see you. Good to see you. Amen. Brother Ken, we love you. Happy birthday. You're a blessing. We're excited about what God is doing in your life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's see. Did I take care of all that business? I think so. I'm backing up just a little bit with a little bit of a repeat of something that I had shared a few weeks ago, following it up with what God is saying now. God has a message to the church right now, and it is to the church as a whole across the earth. So when I'm speaking today, understand that I'm not calling anybody out here. I'm talking about the church universal, changes that need to be made, and I believe that we are hearing God and that we have been doing those things in this house. But if the Holy Spirit should prick something within you that maybe you need to adjust here, let me tell you, it's always better to adjust when the Holy Spirit says adjust. You will be much happier, much more at peace, and much further down the road than when we try to argue our own viewpoint. Just throw your hands up and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I got it. I got it. That's all he needs from us. Amen. Remember that we talked about 1 Samuel, looking in 1 Samuel chapter 2, when Eli and his sons were priests in the house of God at that time. And there was some problems going on with them. And picks up in verse 27, says, a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus as the Lord said, I plainly revealed myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh, and I selected him out of all the tribes to be my priest, to offer on my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me. And I gave to the house of your father all the offerings of the Israelites made by fire. Why then do you kick, trample upon, and treat with contempt my sacrifice and my offering which I commanded, and honor your sons above me? There's a very important principle encased in that we have to look at. It wasn't necessarily that Eli was committing crimes daily, but he had allowed the house to go into disarray. That is a word for the church. That is a word for your household. That is a word for you as the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says, you honor your sons above me. That's putting people before God. That's people pleasing. It's giving the people what they want so they'll leave you alone. I've seen people that have done that with their children. They didn't want to have to mess with stuff, so they just completely emptied their house of everything valuable and breakable and possibly harmful so that the kids could just wander freely and have no restrictions, no boundaries, and therefore they learned no self-restraint. Folks, I'm telling you, if you've got small children, if you've got toddlers, teach them young what no means. Teach them boundaries. Give them the ability to look at something, to want it, to know that it's wrong, and to walk away from it. These things have to be taught, and the younger you teach them, the sooner you will have peace in your household. You may have seen a battle with a strong-willed 2-year-old. It's not pretty. But have you seen a battle with a strong-willed 13-year-old? They can hurt themselves. They can hurt you. Teach them young how to obey. Teach them what is important. It's easier to just train them with videos so they just don't bother you for a while. Moms, I get it. You need some peace. You need some time. But they need some instruction directly from you, time with you, so that you can show them. It takes some effort in the beginning, but it's so worth it in the end. Talk to Miss Tara. We've had so many conversations about training our children in the way they should go. And it's much easier to just let them do what they want to, because when you try to keep them from doing what they want to, they make noise. Y'all know? Y'all look so serious. They make noise. They scream. They cry. They throw fits. And oh, but if you just do it during that intense time when they're young, get it down. Then by the time they're 5 and 6 years old, they're going to be such peace and such a joy in your house and taking care of things for you. It's such a blessing when we learn how, and it's never too late. I don't care how old your kids are. It's never too late to reestablish the boundaries and the way things ought to be. Sometimes for some people in some churches, it's wanting the approval of man more than God's. We get a little off course and we start looking for that gratitude, and we think the people are grumbling, so maybe I need to do it this way. It's as similar as it is in parenting for pastors. They'll say, well, the people kind of want to do this. So, you know, if you don't have a word from the Lord on it and you want to do communion on the third Sunday instead of the second Sunday, okay. But if you just want to stop doing communion because, you know, it's about blood and that's just messy, we don't want to talk about that in the church. That one came down from Jesus himself. Let's not mess with that one, okay? So if you have a word from the Lord on it, it doesn't matter what the people say. There are a lot of churches today, it is sad to say, that they're wanting to fill the seats in their sanctuary rather than fill the hearts of their people with the truth and the word of God. Because you may have noticed that truth is not always popular. The truth of the word of God will offend people. Are we willing, as leaders in the community, as leaders in our home, just in our own lives, are we willing to offend people with the word of God? Not intentionally, but I'm sorry, I'm not coming off the truth here. This is how it is. So we see that Eli was not doing that. So it goes on in verse 30, it says, God said, I'm taking all of this away from you. This lineage is no longer going to come through you. There's some really awful stuff there down through 33 and 34. He tells them that some bad things are going to befall his sons because he can't allow that pollution to go on in the house of God, okay? In the house of God, it cannot be thus. So as a church, we have to pay attention to that. What is it that you're saying, God? And he told him in verse 35, and this is the man that's talking to him. We don't even know who it was. It says, a man of God. It says, I will raise up, God says, for myself a faithful priest. When you look at the origin of that word, it has the connotation of being a fatherly priest, a father, someone who loves, someone who covers, someone who instructs, and someone whose authority does not go away. I will raise this up in my house because this priest is going to do according to what is in my heart, God said. And I will build him a sure house, and he will walk before my anointed forever. So God said, things are about to change. The place that we are in right now in the earth, things are changing. We are already in a shift and in transition. We're beginning to see, I don't know how much you keep up with it. I'm not going to throw any names out, but I'm starting to see there are ministries that are being brought down. Men who have resigned because it has come out, either they've not been faithful with the money, they've not been faithful with their spouse, they've not been faithful in things in leadership, and so these resignations, things are happening. God is cleaning house like he was at this time. Now, there was someone praying and beseeching the Lord because they needed something, and we talked about this. Hannah was seeking the Lord about a son. She had not had a son. And she actually came to Eli, and they had a conversation, and he said, you know, be it unto you according to your heart. And through her prayers and her intercession, this young boy was born, Samuel. And she said, Lord, if you give him to me, I will give him back to you. So she did, and he ministered in the house of God before Eli. In the middle of all of this stuff, he's being raised up. Says he ministered to the Lord before Eli. This is 1 Samuel 3. And the word of the Lord, it says, was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. If you're looking at the average church, you're not hearing a lot of revelation from the heart of God. You're hearing good ideas and comfort. But as far as on the cutting edge of what is God doing, you know, we see that here too. There was no widespread revelation, and things should not be that way. And so while Eli was lying down in his place, his eyes had begun to grow dim before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord. The Lord called to Samuel, and Samuel said, here am I. And he ran to Eli, and he said, here I am, for you called me. And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go lay down. The Lord showed me in this, how many of you have heard of the 80-20 rule? You have 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. We have a church full of people who want to throw money in the offering plate so that somebody else can hear from God for them. And we have this mentality that as a nominal church person, as a lay person, we can't really hear from God. Now, I don't believe anybody in this house has that mentality, because many of you have shared things that God was showing you, and it's beautiful. But the church as a whole thinks that somebody else has got to hear from God, and they're going to let me know. And so every time there's a move, they run to somebody else. We need to learn to go to God to hear his voice so that he can instruct us. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted with the children of Israel. And they said, God, you're a little scary up there on that mountain. We're going to send Moses. We're going to stay back here. He wanted his people to come and commune with him. That's what he's wanted from the beginning. And he has leadership to instruct and teach and, you know, keep us in the right direction. But he wants to talk to you. He wants to speak to you. And that's very important. And that is what helps us to work together, is when we're all hearing from the head, we're all listening, and we're all submitted. Amen? So it happened again, and Eli said, go lay down. And it said, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. We're talking about someone pretty young in the Lord. And finally, Eli tells him, you know, I think maybe God's trying to tell you something. So the next time you hear it, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And of course, that happened. And when it did, God told Samuel the very same thing that he had told this man of God to tell Eli. Samuel was kind of afraid of it. He was like, you know, Lord, who am I to bring this? And I think sometimes we have the wrong mindset, maybe, because we think, well, we're just a little church. We're just a small group. If we were really good at what we do, we'd have a huge congregation. Be careful with that line of thought, because there are times and seasons. There's training, and then there's releasing. And we're in a time of training right now, but do not belittle what God wants to do with this church and think, who are we to rise up and say, this is how it's supposed to be? I had a friend who told me one time that she knew her pastor was doing something right because he managed to raise that church up to 5,000. He must be hearing from God. And I had just driven by somewhere, I can't even remember where it was, a new Buddhist temple that they said they would average 6,000 on the weekends. So if that's going to be our judge, there is no standard. The standard is the Word of God and what is God saying to us. And when we have the Word of God, we will be on His timeline for whatever it is that He wants to do. So God told Samuel to say this to Eli, and he did. He told him the same thing the man of God did. And strangely, Eli said, well, it sounds like God, let him do what he wants to. It amazes me how apathetic some people are when God is trying to stir, and they still think, but I'm immortal and it's going to be okay. When God says things are changing, pay attention. We need to listen. Amen. So we saw God prophesied the doom upon the unrepentant and the ungodly system, and they didn't change. So it happened as he said, and God raised up Samuel as a remnant, if you will, a small. I mean, he was one person. Yet through him came a lot of change, a lot of prophetic that we have in the Old Testament. And we see that the remnant gave the warning to the then in-charge church. Notice that the remnant was commissioned before they were fully grown. Nevertheless, God was with them. It's very rare that I see God says, I'm going to do this, and bam, it happens. We see right after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and he came out and he began prophesying, and he said, there is one coming. But how many years was it before one came? He began to prophesy it into the earth, and as that word would take root, it began to produce, and finally we do see that the Messiah came. So God has begun to say some things in the earth, but I'm not certain that we're going to wake up tomorrow and turn the TV on and find that a whole bunch of stuff happened to a whole bunch of churches and we're the only ones left. I mean, God does things gradually. He begins to speak His word into our lives so that it can take root. And that growing process takes time. And we need to let that word come into us and meditate on it. God, what are you doing? What are you saying? What is my part? How can I pray? Where do you want me? Begin asking Him to show you your direction, because it may take a while. There are generally suddenlies, but generally those suddenlies happen after the word has been sown and sown and sown and sown on good ground, good ground, good ground. Time, sun rises and sets, it's watered, and it does eventually produce, like people you talk to that they call them an overnight success. And they're like, yeah, I've only been doing this 25 years. But all of a sudden, the right connection, the right place, the right time, everything converged, and bam, nobody heard of them yesterday, and today they're all over the world. Yeah, it was kind of an overnight success after their diligence for 25 years. So you understand what I'm saying? So God is speaking some things into the earth to the church, and the church is going to have to change or cease to be effective. I'm not saying these people are going to hell. God's not saying these people are going to hell. He's just not going to allow them to defile His plan in the earth anymore, to sit by and watch while people in congregations are told that sin is okay. Okay? God is not going to allow that to happen. So today, what I want to talk about for just a few minutes, we're going to jump over into Isaiah 58. And God has been speaking to me from this for quite a long time. Now, I know that we are encouraged when we study the Word. We want to look at the words of Jesus. We stay in the New Testament. What was Jesus saying after salvation came? But there is a lot of prophetic in the Old Testament that pertains to where we are today. And looking at what He was telling the Israelites and what He needed their hearts to be can show us a pattern as well. So don't think I decided that the Old Testament is all there is, but there are patterns and types and shadows, and they do speak to where we are today. So looking in Isaiah, is everybody okay? I don't know what that squeaking is, but is anybody else distracted? I'm sorry. I just thought if I call attention to it, then we can all just relax. And if it keeps going, we all know it's there and we'll just move along. Amen. Anyway, so back to the word, back to Isaiah chapter 58. This is the word of the the prophet, God says through Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. It says, yet they seek, inquire for, and require me daily and delight externally. This is the Amplified Classic, in case you were wondering. Delight externally to know my ways, as if they were in reality a nation that did righteousness. Does that sound familiar? You can poll a lot of people. I know the numbers are going down, but there are a lot of polls that will show you that the majority of America identifies as believing in God. Yeah, we're a godly nation. As if they were in reality a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God in visible ways. Reminiscent of 2 Timothy 3:5, where he talks about having a form of godliness but denying the power. They make it look good. And why have we fasted, they say, and you do not see it? Why have we afflicted ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, O Israel, on the day of your fast, when you should be grieving for your sins. Remember, this was before the final atonement was made. So when they would fast, they had to deal with the fact that there was sin in their lives. When you should be grieving for your sins, you find profit in your business. And instead of stopping all the work as the law implies, you and your workmen should, you extort from your hired servants a full amount of labor. In other words, you are doing what I told you not to do. And not only are you not honoring me where I've asked for honor, you're taking other people with you. You're requiring it of the people around you. You're not following the heart of what I wanted. You've taken things into your own hands and said, this looks good and this looks pleasing. I can remember, does anybody remember the blue laws? Remember when nothing used to be open on Sunday? Because as a nation, everything was shut down so people could go to church, because everybody went to church then. I'm not saying that that was perfect system. I'm not saying it's a sin to be open on Sundays. I'm just saying having a mind and a heart that would say, this is a time set aside for God, and we're not going to mess with it, and we're not going to make other people fall prey to it if we do. So honoring God was what he wanted. Matthew 15:8 says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I think you know if your heart is open to God, if your heart is turned towards him. Just do a little personal self-examination right now. How much time are you spending talking to him, listening to him? There's no standard. Is 2 hours enough? Is 3 hours enough? Well, if you can do three, you ought to do five. Or maybe 30 minutes is enough. You can't put a number on it. Just, is your heart turned towards him? How much do you talk to him and let him talk to you? Where is your heart in that mixture? Are you trying to go through the motions? Are you trying to do your 20-minute devotion here and your 15-minute devotion here? Whew, check, got that out of the way. That's not how you would tell somebody to deal with a marriage, with a friendship. We spent our 20 minutes today, we're good. I think there's a problem, right? Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Is it firmly at his feet? Do you really know him? Do you really know the Father? Do you know his voice? Somebody starts talking to you, do you know, okay, that's not my Father. That didn't come from God. Because you're so close to him, you know his heart. It's possible. It doesn't take somebody to lay hands on you and confer some kind of crazy anointing and power to hit you and all kind of stuff to happen. It is your choice. And God is waiting on you. And as close as you want to get, he says, come on. He delights to hear your voice. He delights to know what's in your heart. You know, it said he walked with Adam in the cool of the day. He talked with Moses as a man with a friend. Don't you think he knew what was in their heart? I mean, can you see God saying, oh, don't bother, I already know. No, it says he talked with them. You know, a lot of times, those of you who are parents and you've had the honor of having children, isn't it fascinating to hear what comes out of their mouth sometimes? You just want them to talk to you. I don't care what age they are, whether they're 3 or 30. You just want to hear what's in their heart. You probably, moms, you probably already know a lot of times God's been speaking to you about your kids. But you just want to hear him say it. Just because you love them, because they're special to you. God wants to hear you talk to him. And you can tell him anything. God, I'm really not happy with the situation. I really thought you were going to take care of it by now, but I'm not seeing it. But you know what? I'm sure that you're right and I'm wrong. Send me some help. I need some help. We don't need any these and thous and thuseths and King James English. Just talk to him. Where's your heart? How close are you? You know, you can talk to him at the red lights and praise him when you're driving and sing to him. He wants your attention. He wants time with you. How much are you willing to give? How far you're willing to go in his desire for you is going to be dependent on how much you're willing to come to him and listen. Where is your heart? So they're fussing and they're saying, we're fasting and we're not seeing anything. I don't understand, God. In verse 4 of Isaiah 58, it says, the facts are that you fast only for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. I was looking at some commentaries on that because I was praying about it. I said, God, I really don't understand. One of the things that he was talking about there, he says, you do what you have to do. You think you have to do it. And because you do it with the wrong heart, it makes you grumpy. And then you start getting on people's nerves. They're getting on your nerves. Have you ever had that kind of a fast? You know, you're trying to do the right thing and you're going without food. And now I just don't want to talk to anybody because I'm hungry. Now I got a headache. What do you want? Why are you calling me? That's not the heart of God. We all have bad days. Don't get me wrong. I understand. But God said there needs to be a reason for this. And the reason is for me. And what I love is that God's going to show us exactly what he wants. He wants unity in the body. He wants us to encourage one another and spur one another on to good works. He wants us working as one, not against each other. Loving and covering our brothers, even if they're wrong. You know, sometimes they're wrong, sometimes we think they're wrong, and God shows us later that we were the ones that were wrong. But it doesn't really matter. Whatever they are you going to love? Are you going to cover? Are you going to be one? Because unity is necessary. Psalms tells us there the Lord has commanded the blessing. Are you willing to come together with people that are different than you? People that think differently, people that were raised differently, they see the world differently. Their political viewpoints are different than yours. Are you willing to come together and be family? You know, people say, well, you can't choose your family, but when it comes to church, you get to pick. And I'm thinking, no, that's not what I see. You better go where God sends you, and then whoever's there, y'all got to work it out because that's your brothers and sisters. You don't get to pick. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to be where God wants us. So are we really there? Are we really there? Verse 5 says, God is saying through Isaiah, is such a fast as yours what I have chosen? A day for a man to humble himself with sorrow in his soul. Is true fasting merely mechanical? Is it only to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him to indicate a condition of the heart that he doesn't have? Will you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Are you just going through the motions? Are you just trying to check things off your list? And he says, rather, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke. This is in your life and the lives of the people around you. Is this not why I've called you to come and hear my voice, so that I can empower you to break these yokes of oppression wherever you go? Have any of you ever spent any time with Brother Joel? I just love Brother Joel. We could be in a grocery store, and you could tell God will talk to him about something, and he'll walk up to a perfect stranger, "Hey, man, how you doing today?" And they're like, because he's usually taller than them, and so they're kind of intimidated. They're like, I'm fine. Well, what's up? "Man, I just felt like God wanted me to tell you that he loves you. Can I pray for you?" And tears will spring to their eyes. And they're like, this one guy was like, "Man, my daughter's in the hospital. They don't know if she's going to make it. I need to work because I need the money, but I need to be with my daughter. I'm just not sure what to do." And right there in the middle of a grocery store, Joel is praying for someone and watching peace come onto their life. And he may or may not hear what happens. What is the outcome? But he touched someone. That's where God wants us living. All of us. When you go to Walgreens, when you go to work, to the park, wherever it is, this is what God is calling us aside for, to break the yokes of oppression off of others and to see them broken in our lives. Is it not to divide your bread, verse 7, with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood. You know, I thought we were going to talk about spiritual things here, being spiritual and learning things in the Word and getting lofty revelation. And God said, I'm not looking for the motions and for stuff. I'm saying, are you making a difference? Are you ministering to the very needs right in front of you? Remember in the New Testament, it says, which of you, you know, don't do this. Your brother comes to the door and says, I'm hungry and I need this. And you pray for him and say, be warmed and be filled, and send them on their way and close your door. Because, you know, I just have enough for me and mine. If God ever blesses me with more, I'll give it out. God can take one little thing that you have, like the loaves and the fishes, and multiply it. If you give it freely, are you giving it freely? God said, this is the fast that I have chosen to change us so that we can change our world. When we learn what's really important in life, it's not building an empire, it's not building a ministry, but it's ministering to people. Now, there are things that God will tell us to put our hands to and tell us to be diligent with, and they enable us to have, to give. But we don't attend to them to the exclusion of the people around us, our family. This is what we want to do in Austin, in our nation, in Africa, in Botswana, to be giving of what we have. Because when we give, what happens? God multiplies back to us. Now, it's not an investment program. It's not, well, let me see, if I give $242.13 and I get a 30-fold return, then in 6 months, okay, yeah, I'll give. It's not an investment program, but understand that when you give out of a heart that wants to bless, God will take care of you. Amen? We want to meet practical and spiritual needs. I actually wrote this down, so I'm going to read it. I'm a little hesitant, but I'm hoping you'll hear my heart. If giving to those practical needs interferes with your 5-year plan to be out of debt or to be a millionaire or to buy your own home, then you need to check your priorities. Sometimes we put those things ahead and above because we think we're being diligent with what God has given us, and God wants us diligent. He wants us to be faithful. He's given us plenty of pictures in the Word. Look at the ant. He's continually storing and putting things away, yes. But when there's a need, who do you put first? Who do you put first? Now, this is what I love. God says, when you do it my way, when you learn to do things my way, my kind of a fast, then, you know, I hear these next few verses a lot, but I don't hear them in context with the if you will, then. We just want the then. We don't always want the if you will. But he says, then, in verse 8, shall your light break forth like the morning, and your healing, your restoration, and the power of a new life will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness, your rightness, your justice, and your right relationship with God will go before you, conducting you to peace and prosperity. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. What a beautiful promise for us to walk into just because we chose to divide our bread with the hungry, to walk in the anointing, to break the yokes of oppression, the spiritual and the physical. God, use me. Look what he said he would do. Then he says in verse 9, you will call and the Lord will answer you. You will cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away from your midst the yokes of oppression wherever you find them. That means when we search our own hearts, God, where am I bound? Where do I need to be set free? And then being willing to be used for others. And if you take away the finger pointed in scorn towards the oppressed or the godly, every form of false, harsh, unjust, and wicked speaking. I know I've been guilty of this. You drive past a corner and somebody's got a sign, you know, we'll work for food. A likely story. He's probably got his Mercedes parked around the corner. It has happened. Those things have been found out. But why is that my first go-to in my heart? Why don't I just decide to err on the side of caution? Maybe they don't really need it, but God, I want to give. Now, I listen, and there are times that God will say, empty your wallet to the person on the corner, and I obey. Sometimes I don't hear anything, and it's my choice. Sometimes I just kind of see, not now. So I do want to be led. But, you know, the Word says that his grace is able to abound to us so that we can be thoroughly furnished for every good work and charitable donation. Every. So where does your heart go first when you see someone downtrodden? Are you moved with compassion or contempt? And then when you see people walking in godliness and they stand and deliver the word of the Lord, do you laugh? Do you scorn? What is wrong with these people? Are you willing to receive what comes from heaven through a person? He said, take away the finger of scorn. Even if somebody's wrong in what they're doing, I don't get to judge hearts. I just have to obey. Love, obey. I think life would be so much simpler if we would just get the horizontal love, vertical obey. Those are my directions for today. See how that rhymed? Love here, obey here. That's all I'm responsible for. Amen. So he says, if you pour out that with which you sustain your own life for the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, that with which you sustain your own life. Sometimes my quiet time is what sustains me. God, if I don't get a few minutes of quiet, I'm going to go crazy on somebody and it's not going to be pretty. So I tend to hoard my time, my family time, my husband time, my quiet time, my retail therapy time. I'm a believer. I want to hoard these things because they're important to me, because that's what sustains my life. And yet God said, are you willing to pour out that with which you sustain your life? Your finances, your time, your listening ear to somebody else. How willing are you? See, that's what family does. I mean, you know, somewhere out there, I'm sure at some point, Dallas Cowboys will be playing and the game's coming on. And it's one of those teams that I really think we can win this one. You know, those are rare. Sorry to say. I'm a fan. I love them. And the phone rings and somebody needs something. It's like, man, can't you just wait a couple hours, 3 hours? I got the perfect time. Right? No. Somebody needs you. Give it up. Are you willing? Are you willing to cut those ties within us of that self-preservation and trust God to preserve us? Because I can guarantee you, you know, things happen like you give that up and the next thing you know, somebody calls and says, hey, I won tickets to the game next week on the radio. I don't care anything about football. Y'all want to go? And it's like, because we gave up our time, we got blessed. See, that's how God works, because he does love us. He wants the best for us. He loves us enough to get that selfishness out of us, because that's what holds us back. And so he says, if you will do that, satisfy the need of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in darkness, and your obscurity and gloom become like the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy you in drought and in dry places and make strong your bones, and you will be, the King James says, like a well-watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And then we get into another promise here of a different kind. He says, and your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. And this takes me back to Chronicles, where he said, if you will humble yourself and seek my face and change your ways, then I will heal your land. There are churches that are in decay across this nation because this nation has turned away from God, but that is not how God wants it. And I know at some point in the end of times, those things are going to happen, but we're not there yet. It's time for some restoration in our nation, to restore, if you will, metaphorically, the house of God in this nation, that we are one nation under God. He says, your ancient ruins will be rebuilt, and you will raise up the foundations of buildings that have laid waste for many generations. Tara, that foundation is a family. The family in this nation has deteriorated so much. No respect for fathers. No training for the children. We've lost some foundations. We've lost some ground there. But God says that you will raise up the foundations of those things that have been laid waste for many generations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach. Brother Demetrius was talking yesterday about we're supposed to be building bridges. A way for us to get from here to there. A way for people out there to get from there to here. Bringing things together. We're not building walls and saying, oh, you're not holy, you can't come in. No, we're building bridges. Come on. Let's come together. How are we bringing one another together? Repairers of the breach. Restorer of the streets to dwell in. Healing in our land. I have a vision of that sweeping across this nation in the face of so many things that the enemy is throwing at us right now. Remember, we have authority in the earth. God said, if you will, I will. Will you? He says, if you turn away your foot from traveling unduly on the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a spiritual delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor him and it, not going your own way or seeking or finding your own pleasure or speaking with your own idle words. I want you to think about this in a little different concept. We don't follow the Jewish laws. We don't follow those traditions because Jesus came and fulfilled it so that we could be set free from it. But they talk about the Sabbath, and people have confused that with Sundays and said, well, we're supposed to take off work on Sunday and not do any work. And, you know, then there's the whole discussion, but my house is a mess and I had to work all week and then I did my errands on Saturday. When am I going to mop the floor? You know, and Jewish law says you can't mop the floor on the Sabbath. Well, it's not really the Sabbath, it's Saturday. Oh, so we can't do it on Saturday. It's not about any of that. Understanding that God said there are 6 days that we work, and then there is rest. Well, who is our rest now? Our rest is not a day. It's not a time zone. Jesus became our Sabbath. He is our rest. Are we spending our time with Him, honoring Him? Are we multitasking? Don't get me wrong. You can talk to Jesus while you're vacuuming, while you're mowing the yard. He's right there with you. But there are certain times when we need to just lay everything down. I got nothing in front of me but you, God. I want to see you. I want to hear your voice. And I need to pour some things out to you and just spend some time in your presence. That's honoring the Sabbath. That's honoring Him, taking the time to do that. If you do that, then will you delight yourself in the Lord, and I will make you to ride on the high places of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage promised for you. The blessings of the Lord are poured out when we honor Him. And from that to Isaiah chapter 60. So because we've humbled ourselves before the Lord, this is my commission to you this morning, house of the Lord. Arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you, and rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. When we have humbled ourselves and even just begun to say, God, turn me, show me how. Just a little bit of willingness in our heart, God says, you got it. All right, stand up now. Well, don't I need to do this for a few months first and get it straight? No, because it's not about what you do. It's about where you've humbled your heart. And when you've humbled your heart, God said, all right, get up, because I'm ready to open you up to the world. And you need to shake off the depression. You need to shake off the worry and the fear. But what about? But what about? But what if a riot breaks out? But what if COVID breaks out? But what if, what if, what if, what if? And God says, you need to rise and shine, for your light has already come. Remember, He said, then shall your light break forth as the morning. We are in a morning situation, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, morning situation right now. Weeping has endured for a while. We've been through some stuff. We've had some hard times. We've had to humble ourselves. We've had to make some changes. But now our light is breaking forth, because morning has come. And God says, arise and shine, for your light has come. He says, darkness will cover the earth, and dense darkness all the people. Well, we can see that. That's pretty evident. You watch the news for about 3 minutes, and you can see the darkness. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen on you. And what is the promise? Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. How many of you have said, Lord, give us the nations as our inheritance? Give us the nations, and we will bring them to you and lay them at your feet, Father. Send us to the world. And understand that when kings come to you, they come with a king's ransom. You've seen those movies like where the Queen of Sheba visited Solomon and she brought all this stuff. Or maybe, I don't know if it's the younger or the older generation, remember Aladdin, where he's going to see Jasmine and he brought all of this stuff. When the kings come to you, they bring blessings. They bring things that enrich your economy, that enrich your household, that are a blessing to you. When you are willing to lay yourself down to change the nations, God will bring the kings to you. And when you've humbled yourself, He will exalt you. That is His promise. Amen. So this is what the church as a whole needs to do, and this is where we need to make sure our hearts are. Spending our time in prayer, learning to flow in the anointing, allowing God to purify us so His light shines through us unhindered. I know I've said this before, but you understand, repenting is not saying you're sorry so that you can be forgiven. I think repenting is what you do after you say, oh, okay, God, I see that. I need to change it. Then you change. Repent just means to change your mind. Just get a better way of looking at things. It doesn't mean, oh, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. We're not talking about sin. We're not sin conscious. We're not subject to sin. We're just going through the process of, well, let's change this. Oh, okay, God, I'll change that. Can you do this? Sure, God, I'll change that. That when we talk about repentance, it's just a change of mind to do things God's way. Be willing to be used at home, in the house, right here, in the neighborhood, in the grocery store, in the workplace, to let God flow through us to set the captives free. Coming into unity, forgiving one another. Guess what? We're not perfect. I am not perfect. I am not anywhere close to perfect. I try to behave on the outside. Y'all don't always see what's going on in my heart. But God knows, and He's bringing me through those processes. And I so appreciate Your grace and Your mercy while I'm learning. Can we do that for one another? Because that's necessary to come together as one. And then choosing to obey God. That is the most important thing. Where do You want me? What are You saying today? Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. God, Your word of life, of provision, Father, that is health to us and life to our flesh. Father, we thank You for the word that has been sown in our hearts. And Father, I pray today that we continue to be good ground where Your word takes root and produces mature, remaining fruit. Father, we are thankful that You have made us lights in the earth, and we do choose this day to rise and to shine, Father, not in our own strength, not with our own light, but Father, as You shine through us, we determine that we will get out of the way and let You show off as You show Yourself strong on our behalf. Father, lead us this week. Give us wisdom. Open doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing. Show us how simple it is just to share Your love with the people around us. Keep our hearts forgiving, Father, that the first thought is not of our own irritation or frustration, but, Father, that we're loving one another. As we're all learning together, Father, Your grace within us allows us to be compassionate, to see one another as You see us, Lord, forgiven and growing together. Father, I thank You that Your blessing is upon this house because there is unity here. Father, You have commanded the blessing, so we thank You that in this house, in each person, in each family, we have more than enough. Father, we have to give because we are blessed to be a blessing. Father, in everything, in love, in anointing, in finances, in food, in everything that anyone could possibly need, Father, You have blessed us with abundance. So show us how to give liberally, so that we can be a blessing and continue to be blessed by You. Father, I thank You for Your people, for this people that You've brought to House of the Lord Fellowship Church. Father, for any watching online right now, God, I speak Your blessings, Father, the blessings that open understanding and wisdom within us, so that we as Your sheep hear Your voice alone, and the voice of another we will not follow. Father, Your divine protection is upon us. Divine abundance is flowing to us and through us. Health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance are ours in this house, Father, because of the sacrifice of our Redeemer. We receive it today, and we thank You that we go forth from fellowshipping with You, worshiping You, fellowshipping with our brothers, and partaking of Your word. Father, we go forth blessed and empowered to prosper in everything You've called us to do. And we will be careful to give You all the glory and the honor and the praise for all that You are accomplishing in our midst. And all who agreed said,
amen. Your instructions for this week, talk to somebody. Stand with me. You say, is that all? What else do you think we need to do? Just talk to somebody. Talk to somebody. Let them know of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I call you blessed. I say that no weapon formed against you prospers, but because you are the children of the Most High God, you are taught of the Lord, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure. and that favor surrounds you at all times on all sides, goes before you, prepares your way, and covers from the rear and the sides. And prosperity and blessings flow freely into your life because you are a child of the Most High God. And everywhere you go, you are the sweet-smelling aroma of the presence of God. And He leads you always in truth, triumph, and victory as you follow Him. And everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful. You are loved. You are blessed. You are the kingdom of God. Go reproduce. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, we've got a little reception, or maybe a big reception. I'm not sure what's going on. Over in the youth room. So if Brother Brian's still having youth over there, just run him out. Maybe not. But fellowship for a little bit, and tell KK we're going to miss her. But we'll see her soon. You're dismissed. Go with God.